For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. A union representing thousands of workers at Stop and Shop groceries around New England says it will file charges against the chain with the National Labor Relations Board. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union says the decision to end additional hazard pay, or so-called hero pay, for frontline workers at the beginning of July in this time of pandemic is, quote, inexcusable. With us now is Mark Espinoza, president of UFCW Local 919 Connecticut. Mark, is this just an issue of right now, or do Stop and Shop workers feel they've been treated unfairly since the pandemic began?
At the beginning, of course, there was a lot of, anxiety relative to the PPE and things that weren't being provided. And, you know, the company went out and did a lot of reaction to it, and they did. And they're providing equipment, and they were putting up sneeze guards, and they were putting, you know, the distancing issues and then markings on the floors and doing what they were, you know, told they really needed to do. Of course, you know, there was occupancy levels that were supposed to be adhered to as well and things like that. So I think the company did well in terms of reacting. Our complaint right now is just the fact that they've been very fair to the employees in terms of this premium pay, and they've been very fair for 3 months. And all we're asking the company to do is continue being fair.
Mark, Stop and Shop, as well as other grocers across the country, say hero pay isn't needed anymore because customers are no longer panic buying as they did at the start of the pandemic. What do you say about that?
Well, I mean, we've heard their position, and I don't know if the right word is panic, but certainly the economic indicators point that people are still shopping. Supply chain distribution has improved. Shelves are certainly far better stocked than they were 2 months ago. So we disagree with their assertion that shopping levels are pre-COVID times, because the economic indicators show that business is very, very good.
Well, the grocery retailers, they have been saying that while they could pay hero bonuses earlier in the pandemic because hoarding led to record sales, they can't afford them anymore because sales have returned to closer to normal and fixed costs have gone up for things like extra disinfecting and store reconfigurations and such. Do you believe grocers when they say that? Do you have any sympathy for that position whatsoever?
I do understand about the pricing situation, but again, the economic indicators, we haven't seen any decline with the company, the major employer that we represent, not yet. And we understand that our members are still frontline employees, and they are providing essential services to the communities in which they work. And we believe that regardless of the fact of, you want to argue percentages, these folks are out there on a daily basis, and they're at risk, and the numbers prove it. And we've dealt with a lot of our members who have, or family that have been directly impacted by the virus.
Give us a flavor for to what degree these workers are at risk. What have the infection rates been for Stop and Shop workers? And if you have that information, how do they compare with the grocery business as a whole?
Well, I can't speak for, there's a lot of local unions in New England as well as New York, New Jersey who represent Stop and Shop. So I'm only speaking for my local here in Connecticut. And I know that out of the 7,000 members that we represent, Local 919 represents, the company has provided us information basically weekly. And the numbers as far as testing positive and being quarantined was in the neighborhood at the high level of 150 workers. And there has also been within our jurisdiction two members that have passed, sadly. And that also, in addition to that, we've had about 550 members who are just not comfortable and have chosen to stay out of the stores. So that number is going down. A lot of the members are starting to return. But we had about 550 members back when this all started who chose to stay home.
And if you could clarify for the listeners, Local 919 covers, is it Farmington? Is it one of the areas you cover? As well as what else?
Well, we're all of Connecticut. So there's 7,000 members that belong to Local 919. 98% of them work in Stop and Shop. We have We represent workers in other contracts that have been also impacted one way or another. We represent, as an example, Bob's Furniture stores, and those stores, you know, they were closed. They were furloughed. Those workers were gone for, I believe it was 8 weeks. But yeah, so we're throughout the state of Connecticut with all of their stores.
You know, on social media, we regularly see these days workers at grocery stores getting confronted by angry customers after these workers mm-hmm. ask them to wear masks. Is that coming up as another reason why grocery workers
yes.
deserve hero pay?
I believe so, and I've had members call me and tell me about episodes in stores asking for advice, you know, what should they do, and I'm trying to steer them away from confrontation. I'm telling them that they have a right to request a customer to stay away, and then if that doesn't work, they need to go to management. There have been episodes throughout where we've seen altercations. There was one episode, I believe it took place in Southeast Massachusetts in one of the Stop and Shop stores. You know, the customer was apparently trying to spit on one of the employees, and they had attacked. Some other customers came by and helped tackle the guy. And so there's been a lot of frustration by our membership because of the lack of acknowledgement by customers at times. Relative to the protocol that should be taking place.
How do you feel and how do workers feel about being tasked with enforcing these rules? Is there a feeling that management should be doing something to take that burden from them?
Yes, absolutely. And that's been an early on question and concern that the members have lodged to us. Exactly, you know, relative to just trying to speak up to a customer.
So are we saying, like, hey, after NFL cutdown day, go hire a few guys who did make some NFL teams, get the biggest guys you can find to come in there, not to intimidate people, but just in case somebody tries something, and say, okay, look, you got to wear your mask.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if that's what it takes, I mean, because I know some store managers are frustrated in the fact of when they've attempted to talk to a customer and they themselves have gotten into altercations and they don't want to. Of course they don't. They want to keep a balance. They don't want to upset the customer. They want the order to go through and the money to be exchanged, of course. But so yes, we've heard from store managers who are saying, you know, this isn't fun, you know, having to approach a customer. Or at the beginning when the occupancy rules and the minimum 50% and all that took place, you know, the company, we were reminding the company that was not one of our members' job to keep track of how many customers were coming in, and they were going to need to use some outside help, whatever they were going to use or whomever they were going to use. I don't see counting going on. So, you know, that whole 50% occupancy thing, I've seen other companies still doing it, you know, and monitoring the flow. I think that the employer, you know, I mean, I don't need or want an employee getting in an altercation. And you've seen some of these horror stories that, you know, in different companies, people just going off the wall on employees and who are only trying to enforce safe environments. You know, we've actually printed out stickers for our members to wear to just say, please, you know, observe 6 feet.
How much does the fact that the $600 per week CARES Act unemployment add-on is expiring in 2 weeks, how much does that hurt your leverage in this situation? I mean, there's going to be probably a lot more competition for jobs at this point.
Yeah, we don't really have the leverage. We have nothing in our contract that obligates and, you know, forces the company to maintain the premium pay. You know, this is something that was an unprecedented episode. You know, we came through a major strike last year, as you probably know, 11-day strike throughout New England. And, you know, we have a contract and we have issues. But, you know, none of us foresaw a COVID provision to be put into the union contract. So the leverage we have is just trying to just convince the employer, trying to implore that, you know, it's the right thing to do. And they did it. And they did it for 3 months, as I said, and they were fair. And all we're trying to say is continue to be fair.
What is your expectation of success with the NLRB in its current incarnation under the Trump White House?
Well, that's a great question. I think that it's a touchy issue, and and of course, they'll look at the rest of the industry. They'll look at the other leaders of the other industry, this industry, and use that as an example of saying, well, none of them are doing it anymore. So why should we be the only ones doing it? In terms of maintaining the premium pay. So it's what we have to do. It's our job. We have to advocate for the membership, and that's one of the ways we can do it. I have a lot of hope for a positive outcome? No, I don't.
So in football parlance, this is a Hail Mary pass?
I'm thinking that's a good way of looking at it.
Okay. Well, so assuming that you're right, and this is the final question, assuming that you're right and this doesn't turn out the way the UFCW would hope, what next?
Well, I think one of the things that the locals have discussed at conference is that, we will do some targeted events. I believe that, Labor Day is coming, and that would be a significant time for us to try to be visual. And there's that. There's been a lot of interaction with our elected officials throughout New England, New York, New Jersey. In fact, tomorrow we've got a press conference in front of a store in Hamden, Connecticut, and Senator Blumenthal has agreed to come down and be with us. So we'll just continue banging away. And I can say that in February of 2022, this contract expires, and the company should know that we will certainly be dealing with this type of an issue once we get back to the bargaining table.
Mark Espinoza of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.